First John chapter 4, and I want to read one verse, verse number 7. The Bible says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Notice the words again, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Our Heavenly Father, as we bow today, we say thank you, Lord, for this privilege that we have to be in the house of God today. Thank you, Lord, for what we have already heard this morning from the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for the prayers. Thank you, Lord, for the songs. Thank you, dear God, for your presence most of all here in our midst. And I pray, Father, for a few moments this morning that you might help us, Lord, that we might be able to preach thy word. Our Lord, that you would be honored and glorified in everything, Lord, that is said and everything that's done. We're grateful and we're thankful. Now, Father, have your way. Speak to every heart. God, I pray that you'd anoint us with thy power. Fill us, Lord, with thy spirit. And God, may Christ be exalted. And Lord, we'll praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, I want us to preach from this verse. And I want to preach, still preaching on the theme, great church members make great churches. We've been preaching on it now for a few weeks, and this morning I want you to notice from this verse, great church members are loving church members. A writer by the name of Thomas Kempis gave us this definition of love. He said, "Nothing is sweeter than love, nothing stronger, nothing higher, nothing wider, nothing more pleasant, nothing fuller or better in heaven or on earth. Love often knows no limits, but is fervent beyond measure. Love feels no burdens, thinks nothing of labors, attempts what is above its strength, pleads no excuse of impossibility. Though wearied, it is not tired. Though pressed, it is not straitened. Though alarmed, it is not confounded. But as a lively flame and burning torch, it forces its way upwards and passes securely through all." Now, that's a pretty good definition of what love is. And what a wonderful description of love he has given to us. As we think about continuing our thought about great churches, and what makes great churches, of course, is great church members. And I want us to think along this line today. A great church is a great church because of its great members, and those members are loving church members. Now, one of the early marks of the early church was the way that they loved each other and those around them. In a letter to Dionysius, written by an unknown writer about 130 AD, about 100 years after Christ died, it was said of the early Christians, "They love all men, but are persecuted by all." Tertullian, an early church leader, reported that the Romans would exclaim, "See how they love one another." Justin Martyr gave this sketch of the way the early church loved. He said, "We who used to value the acquisition of wealth and possession more than anything else, now bring what we have into a common fund and share it with anyone who needs it. We used to hate and destroy one another and refuse to associate with people of another race or country. Now, because of Christ, we live together with such people and pray for our enemies." It's no wonder that Christianity spread so quickly throughout the ancient world. The kind of love that they showed to each other and to those around them captured the attention of the world. Now, if we're going to capture something of what the early church had, we must learn to love as they loved. Now, John had a lot to say about love. If you were to take the book of 1 John and read through this little book of 5 chapters and underline the word love every time you came across it, you would find that this is the dominant subject of the book of 1 John. The nickname of the Apostle John was the Apostle of Love. How he loved and what he felt about love is very clear in the book that bears his name. John tells us to love one another, amen? And so I want us to look at the love that John describes and how that we are to love one another. Now remember, we're talking about great church members. Make great churches, and a great church member is a loving church member. Now first of all, John speaks to us about a love that is unnatural. A love that is unnatural. Now when I talk about an unnatural love, I'm referring to a kind of love that runs contrary to how we love naturally. Or to say it another way, it's a love that is quite different than how we love according to our human nature. You see, natural love is often based on attraction. There was something that attracted every husband and wife here this morning in this building. Maybe it was her big brown or deep blue eyes that got your heart, amen? Or maybe it was his bulging muscles. And why are y'all laughing? His bulging muscles, amen? Or maybe it was that shiny sports car. I don't know. But in either case, there was something that attracted each to their mate, amen? An attraction that was developed to love. Now, it could be like the case about this woman who went to the police station to file a missing report on her husband. And the police officer asked her for a description, and she said, well, he's fat, bald-headed, never shaves, dresses sloppy. And then she said, on second thought, let's just forget about it, amen. Amen. But sometimes our love is reciprocal. We love someone because of how they treat us or something that they have done for us. We love them back, amen. Our love and how we feel about others is largely motivated by how they have treated us. You see, natural love finds it hard to love those who mistreat us, amen. If someone is attacking you and hurting you, it's not easy to love them. I must be honest and say this morning that there are some people that are hard to love. Amen. They're hard to love. There's those you can't help but love. I mean, there are some people you just can't help but love them. I mean, they're just that kind of person, you just can't help but love them. But then there are some people it's hard to even like them, much less love them. Amen. But natural love finds it hard to love at certain times. But John, the kind of love that John is describing, is a love that is more than natural love. He's describing a supernatural love. It's a kind of love that loves those even who mistreat us. Jesus said in Matthew 5:44, love your enemies. Now that's what Jesus said. Now, love that is according to human nature finds it hard to love our enemies. But John is describing a love that enables us not only to love those who love us, but is a love that enables us to love our enemies as well. Now, let us notice a couple of things about this kind of love. First of all, it's an eternal love. 1 John 4:7, the Bible says, for love is of God. John is speaking of a kind of love that originates with God. This is a love that finds its source in God. The kind of love that John tells us that God gives to us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 that the love of God is shed abroad through our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The word shed abroad means to gush out. The love of God has been poured out into our hearts, my friend. There are people and times when it's hard to love them. There's people in myself, I have a hard time loving people. But the love of God can in me can enable me to love as John tells me to love. Amen? And you can do the same. I guarantee you, there are some things or some people in your life that it just is hard to love them. But friend, the kind of love that God has, if it's shed abroad in our hearts, you can love your worst enemy by the grace of God. Amen. I think about Corrie Ten Boom. Some of y'all probably heard of her. Corrie Ten Boom. She and her family helped the Jewish people hide. They hid the Jewish people from the Nazis during World War II. But when they were discovered, they were all sent to a German prison. She never saw her father again. Her and her sister, Betsy, ended up in a place called Ravensbrück concentration camp. Betsy would languish and die there, and it was only a miracle that Corrie survived and was released. After the war, Corrie was speaking in a church in Munich, Germany, and when she saw one of the SS guards from that concentration camp, and suddenly it was all there. It all flooded back in her mind. The room where they were at, the mocking men, the heaps of clothing. She thought about her sister Betsy's outstretched hand and how that she was dying and how that she did die. And so after the service, this SS guard walked up to Corrie and stretched out his hand to her, and he told her how that he had been saved. Well, Corrie stood there. Her hand stayed by her side. She could not lift her hand to take the man's hand that stood before her. As she stood there, her soul fighting a battle within her heart, and she said, "Jesus, I cannot forgive him. Give me your forgiveness." And before she knew it, she reached up her hand and she took his hand. And she said that from her shoulder, along her arm, and through her hand, a current seemed to pass from me to him, while into my heart sprang a love that almost overwhelmed me. She later said of the incident, when he tells us to love our enemies, he gives along with the command the love. Amen. And so, my friend, this is the kind of love that John is talking about. Love is of God, and the love that we are to show others is a love that comes from God. It's the kind of love that will enable us to love when we otherwise could not love, amen, because this love has an eternal source. This love comes from God, and God's love is always everlasting, amen, into our lives. Not only is an eternal love, but then notice John tells us that this is an evidential love. Now this love not only comes from God, but this love also has evidence that we know the God of love. John says, "Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." John not only has much to say about love, but he also says much about the evidence of those who are truly saved. It has been said that the Gospel of John was written that we might know how to be saved, and 1 John was written that we might know that we are saved. Amen. Now, beloved, here's the evidence. You say, "Preacher, I'm having a battle. I don't know if I'm saved or not." Here's a good evidence. If you have love in your heart, then you're pretty much saved, amen? He that knoweth God loves, amen. But if you don't know God, you're not going to have any love. The Bible said in 1 John 3:14, notice what John said. He says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life." Why? Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. 1 John chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says, "No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." Now, the Bible could not be any plainer than this. If we do not love or cannot love, it's a good indication that we've never been saved. Say amen right there. Now the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. We are to put our profession to the test. Salvation is like having the chicken pox. Now if Hope's got the chicken pox, we'll know it after a while because it's going to break out all over. Say amen right there. If you're saved, it'll be just like the chicken pox. You ain't going to be able to hide it. It'll show up everywhere in your life. Amen. Through love. Amen. Now, there will be evidence of salvation. And John tells us that one mark of being saved is that we love and we have a love for others. Amen. Now, John is talking about a supernatural love. He's not talking about natural love. He's talking about supernatural love. Love that'll cause you to love your enemies. Love that'll cause you to love people you don't know. Love that'll cause you to help those that are in need and will never be able to help you. That's what love he's talking about this morning. The love of God, amen. Not only the love this morning, but also this love. Not only unnatural, but then a love that is unselfish. Notice John, 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, if you will. He said, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Amen. Now John describes a demonstration of love and how we are to love others. Notice what he said, hereby we perceive the love of God. Albert Barnes states that this statement declares, by this we know. That is, we know what true love is. How do we know? We see it in Christ. We see what true love is. Jesus is the greatest example of love that was ever given. You say, if you want to know what love is, look at Jesus Christ, amen, and the love that he has shown unto you and I. His love is seen in that he laid down his life for us. Amen. What a selfless expression of love we have in the Lord Jesus. He willingly gave his life for us. You see, real love is always selfless love. In the great love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're told that love seeketh not her own. Real love does not have self at the center of its attractions and expressions. Amen. Sometimes our love is selfish. Amen. I think about a story I heard about a girl who wrote a boy that she had once been engaged to, and she wrote and she said, dearest Jimmy, no words could express the great unhappiness I have felt since breaking our engagement. Please say you'll take me back. No one could ever take your place in my heart. So please forgive me. I love you. I love you. I love you. Yours forever, Marie. And then it had a P.S. that said, congratulations on winning the lottery. Amen. Yeah, she loved him. Oh, I can tell you that right now. That's real love right there. But there is nothing selfish in the love that John describes to us. It's thoughtless of self and empty of any selfish motive. In Ernest Gordon's Bridge Over the River Kwai, I remember watching this movie years ago when I was a youngin. Some of y'all have probably seen this. But it tells about a group of Scottish soldiers that had been captured by the Japanese and forced to work on a jungle railroad. Well, there was one scene in which he describes an act of unselfish love. A shovel was discovered missing, and the Japanese commander was enraged, and he ordered that the shovel be produced or else. So when no one stepped forward, he pulled out his pistol and he began to threaten to kill every man unless someone stepped forward and confessed to taking the shovel. Finally, one man stepped forward. The commander took a shovel and beat him to death with it. Later, it was discovered that they had miscounted the shovels. No shovel was missing, but he showed love, selfless love, by giving his life to save his comrades. That's the kind of love that John is talking about this morning. A love that thinks not of itself, but thinks of others. Amen. He gave his life to save others. That's unselfish love. Now, as you look closer at unselfish love, first of all, notice the eyes of love that sees. Notice he says in 1 John 3:17, he seeth his brother. The word seeth speaks of being a spectator. Here's someone that looks at another and sees them through the eyes of love. John tells us that love has eyes. Amen. Somebody told me one time love was blind, and I'm beginning to be a believer in it. Amen. And I remember my girls, and they said, "I love him." I said, "Why? How could you? Don't you see? Can't you see? I love him anyway, blah, blah, blah." I said, "Love's blind, sure as the world." I had a preacher friend of mine years ago. He was he's older man than I am, and he used to preach at our church some when we first got saved. And his wife, she was as big around as she was tall, had no teeth. I mean, friends, she would not be on the cover of Esquire or any good magazine showing beauty. I mean, she was a good woman. I mean, loved God, but she just wasn't a beauty queen. But he would get up, he said, "That's the prettiest woman I've ever seen in my life." I'm thinking, love's blind, praise God, amen. But love has eyes, amen. Now here, we see this, love has eyes, you see. Love looks at people with interest, thoughtfulness, and compassion. Love sees more than a person. Love, real, this love John talks about, not just sees a person as a human, but sees a person as a brother, as someone in need. He says, if you see your brother in need, it's been said that love is the tie that blinds. Amen. This kind of love makes us blind to a lot of things. You see, when Jesus died for you and me, he loved us so much, he knew what we was. But he loved us so much anyway, thank God. He went ahead and gave his life for us, amen. I mean, just think of all that crowd that day. I mean, that would have been enough for the Lord to see how vile the human race was when he saw that crowd hollering, "Crucify him, crucify him. Let his blood be on us and our children." But I want to say this morning, he had a love that was unselfish, a love that saw the need of others, and a love that laid down his life, thank God, to give for others, amen. Love, my friend, that's what's going to make a great church member. It's going to be loving church members. That's what's going to make a great church, is having a church filled with loving church members. Amen. The love, the kind of love, does not look on upon others with criticism and judgment and hatred and scorn and dislike. Instead, we look upon them with love, amen. How do you win people to Christ? You love them to Jesus. That's how you get them to the Lord, amen. You'll never get anybody to Christ by criticizing them and running them down and kicking them like an old dirty dog. But you can get them to Christ if you love them and show interest in them. Thank God that's how you do it, amen. What's going to make a great church? A church filled with loving church members. Amen. Love can penetrate steel doors. Love can break through hearts that are filled with hatred and distrust. There's no greater force in the world than the love of God. Amen. It's a powerful tool in reaching others. Amen. The world will not care what we know till they know that we care. What a difference could be made. Not only that, but we see the heart of love that shares. When one has eyes of love, it affects a person's heart. John says, "But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" The main point is to show that absence of love is evidence that we're not saved. But the implication is that when we love, we will open up our heart and respond to the needs that we see. John is describing love in shoes. It's been said that love is a verb and not a noun. Love acts and reacts. Love responds to others in a time of need. And we not only see, but we share. Thank God. Oh my. John is speaking of a love that we can give away. But then let me close with this. Love that is unconditional. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 8 through 11. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that he sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Verse number 19, we read, we love him because he first loved us. John tells us that we are to love as Jesus loved. How did Jesus love? Jesus loved you and I in an unconditional way and with an unconditional love. Amen. His love was and is not limited or based on any conditions. Brother Wayne was teaching about grace. I'm glad this morning it's not based on any rules or any conditions that we've got to meet. Hey, the only thing we've got to realize, we're lost and he will save us and come running to him. Amen. And he loved us, thank God. And he did not love you because you first loved him. He loved you when you hadn't even thought about him. He loved you when you used to use his name in vain. He loved you when you never thought about anything about the things of God. But I want to tell you this morning, since you got saved, you love him because he first loved you. Thank God. That's where love is. Amen. Oh, listen, it's a first love. We love him because he first loved us. Our love for him is motivated by his love for us. Amen. He loved us when we did not love him. He loved us when we hated and rejected him. He did not love us because we first loved him. Oh, there was no preconditions for his love. He loves you, thank God. He loves you. Amen. And when we love like Jesus loved, there'll be no demands on our love. We will love regardless of how others feel about us or how they respond to us. No matter what, praise God, we'll just do what we're supposed to. Amen. It's first love. It's a full love. And 1 John 4:9 says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. God's love is seen in the giving of his Son. Christ's love is seen in how he gave his life for us. Jesus gave everything. He gave his life. His love knew and knows no limits. Aren't you glad this morning? His love knew and still knows no limits. There's no one out of the reach of the love of God. Amen. His love, thank God, for God so loved the world. Hey, the whole world God loves. Amen. Oh, my friend, his love to you and to I was unconditional. I did nothing to deserve his love, but he loved me anyway, praise God. Amen. His love, not only is it a first love and a full love, but I'm glad his love is a forgiving love. 1 John 4:10, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. His love is a forgiving love. Our sins, which were many, oh, listen, but he loved us anyway. Amen? Oh, my. I'm glad Jesus loved me. Then it's a faithful love. The Bible tells us in 1 John 4:11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now I want you to notice that when I close this morning, pay close attention to the words, God so loved. God so loved us in the past. Before you were ever born, before you were ever saved, God so loved you in the past. But can can I also say this morning that God, my friend, this morning, he so loves us in the present. He still loves me. I am loved of God right now. You're looking at a person this morning that God loves. Look at me. God loves me. Woo, hallelujah. I mean, praise God. And I'm looking out here this morning, and every person that my eye falls on, God loves you now. He loved you. God so loved that he gave. But can I say, he still loves, amen, even in the present. But I like this. But he will so love us in the future. Amen. You see, he's going to love us forever. I'm his child. I'm one of his children. He loves his children. Amen. I heard a song the other day on the radio that there are no orphans of God. Boy, I like it. Woo! I mean, no orphans. Amen. God has no orphan children. All of his young'uns are still his young'uns. And he never lets one of them go. He never gives one of them up. He never turns one of them over. They're still all of his children this morning. And he'll love us, thank God, forever. Amen. Oh my, this morning. No wonder John was the apostle of love. Jesus loved us. And now John says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. Amen. And when we love like Jesus, we will love continually. Our love will not be fickle and not like the weather. Our love will remain the same at all the time. Some children were asked, what is love? What is love? One little girl responded, love is when your mommy reads you a bedtime story. True love is when she doesn't skip any pages. Amen. Hey, a great church member. Hey, a great church member is a loving church member, and they don't skip any pages. Amen. They love unnaturally. They love unselfishly, and they love unconditionally. If members would love as John tells us to love, it will produce a loving church. And a loving church is a great church. Our Father, thank you this morning. Oh, dear Lord, please help me, Lord, in my heart and my life. Lord, I want to have the kind of love that we've studied about, the kind of love we preached about. Lord, we want to be able to love others. Not just love them that love us. But God, we want that love of God to shed abroad in our hearts that we can love those who mistreat us. Those, dear God, who try to hurt us. Lord, we want to have that love to be able to love them. Oh, Father, may you fill our hearts with your love. And Father, if there's someone here today that knows not the love of God and knows nothing about love, Lord, may they see today their need of Christ, and may they come to Jesus today. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Speak to our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, we're standing to our feet. And she's playing softly, an invitational number.